Hello again, and welcome to the Changing the Narrative podcast. I'm your co-host, Dr. Gabriel Warren, along with Carl Benson. And today we have another special guest, Tim Harris, here, who's going to share with us a little bit about his journey, some of the things he does. So, Tim, thank you for being a part of the podcast, man. We're glad to have you.
Yes, sir. Pleasure to be here for sure. I'm excited about it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I always like to start the podcast off by just introducing our listeners to, you know, men who are doing impactful things, man, in the community. So can you start by just sharing with us a little bit about, you know, who you are, some of the things you do, both professionally and, you know, even if there's hobbies and things you do. So,
yes, sir. Definitely. Like you said, Tim here is one of the things I'm probably most proud of is being a husband, going on 17 years, and then a father of three boys and a girl. Very exciting for me, especially. Well, I won't, you know, that sounds like I'm discriminating, but especially my daughter. But I'm excited about my kids, though. Wife, family man, and as far as what I do on a professional level is mortgages. So my main job is that if someone is looking to purchase a home, my job is to get them through the pre-approval process, just meaning I'm going through income documentation and just making sure, one, that they are qualified, but then the second thing is how much they can actually qualify for. And then even if they're not ready to purchase a home, my other job is to assist them in getting ready, educating the community. So from a professional standpoint, you know, that's what I do. And just, I wouldn't say hobby, but I guess I would say just secondarily, I would more so say that I'm, you know, excited about being an elder in the church. That's something I take, you know, very serious as far as the ministry. And I look at both, they kind of cross each other because I would say mortgage can be ministry. You know, getting people in homes is ministry. You know, it's one of the things that God promises. So to be able to help them do that, I look at that as ministry as well. But I serve as an elder at my church as well.
Very cool. Very cool. That you know, I think there's a lot of that. The home ownership is always something that's ultra important to a lot of folks. And I know that being able to support folks through that process is something that probably you get excited about. Can you tell us a little bit more about what motivates you not only every day to sort of get after that and help people in that regard, but then also what motivates you sort of just to grind through your day with the big family and whatnot as well?
Yeah, definitely. one of the things is, so I've done something on the show once. One of my passions is, you know, and I think it's centered around what you guys are doing here is getting more men to purchase, specifically single men, because a lot of times, especially in our communities, a lot of times our men will only purchase homes once they get a family. You know, they look at it as something that when I get a wife, you know, she'll be able to come in and decorate and do some things, but not understanding that purchasing a home is an investment. So a lot of them can purchase sometimes in neighborhoods that you may not have to worry about school systems and stuff the way you would when you have a family, and you can purchase their home. You know, just using it as an example, if they purchase their home at $100,000, they pay it down $70,000, and that house now is worth $180,000. That equity goes into their pockets and could be a down payment on the next home. So it's a passion of mine, especially in the African American community, that we understand that buying a home is an investment, and it is not something that men should only do once they get married. It's something they should be looking forward to, you know, in the future. And one of the things that caught my eye was when I was looking at how many loans I had done. I had done it was close to 300 loans, but only three of those loans were single males out of all those loans. But single women purchase all the time. So there's a drive that I have to educate the community as far as the male specifically. Now, of course, we want everybody in the home, but we just want to see the activity of men pick up.
Wow. Man, that's awesome, man. So now this may be kind of a continuation of what you were just talking about, but what ways do you try to, you know, give back to your community? You know, it sounds like educating people on the home buying process is a big part of that, but are there other ways too where you look to either provide some kind of giving back, and if so, what areas?
Yeah, so it's a couple things. Like you said, with the education piece, But then also there's a thing that I've started at my bank where I have a budget set that what I do is I find a minority business in my community. And what I do is I try to support it in a way that brings them business and recognition. So I'll give you an example. We had a food truck here that food truck went brick and mortar. And so what I did is I took a certain amount of money and I paid for the first 100 people that came through the door. And so, you know, what that did is it drew a lot of attention. You know how people like free stuff. So we said we had to set a limit, of course. So we set a limit of $20 per person. But what that did is that brought attention to the place. Now it's up to that business to be able to maintain or keep that customer coming in. But once we do things like that, we drive a certain amount of attention to that business. And then hopefully they'll continue to come back. And we have other things that I'm going to do. There's going to be a day where we'll pay for a certain amount of people's daycare, that bill for the month. There's another project I'm working on where we're going to offer massages for city employees and things like that. But just building business, because if you know, a lot of minorities don't have the budget for marketing. And so if I can do my part and drive people to that business, I think that if their business is what we believe it is, they'll maintain it.
Is that an initiative you brought on or brought to the bank, or the bank said, hey, let's do some stuff? Or how did you come about thinking that up and executing on that?
Yeah, it was just something that came to my mind. Well, I say came to my mind, but one of the things I believe in is prayer. So I know that was an idea that's just given from the Lord. And I was able to go to the bank, talk to them about it, and they were, you know, they were excited about it instantly. And they set a budget that I have so much that I can use per quarter, or I can take it all and use it as a lump sum. So it was instant.
Gotcha. Okay. Very cool. That's a great idea. It's something that when we start talking back here in Minneapolis, working with black owned businesses and whatnot, it's a great idea. I might steal or borrow. I like to say, I like to steal.
Yes, yes, sir.
That's
yes,
sir. We talked a little bit about, you know, black men not purchasing homes for themselves and whatnot, but there's just a general misconception about black men in America and whatnot overall. And generally what I would say is like, what are your thoughts on those general misconceptions we always talk about, we know about, but what's your thought on that, and might be some opportunities you see that could help eradicate or educate, as you already do with the mortgages, folks on those misconceptions?
You know, one misconception I was thinking about, you know, is, and of course, as you and I, all of us know, that a lot of that is pushed by the media. Of course, they push out what they want to see. And so that's where the misconception comes from. But one thing is, you know, I have boys, I know Gabriel does as well. And one of the things that that bothers me is that we're not involved. You know, a lot of times when I go to my kids' games and stuff, you'll see more black fathers present than anything, you know, even whether it's taking them to practice, whether it's just being available. They are very available and present. And I don't know where that thought process came from, but we are very, very present in our children's lives. You know, even if we're not married and we have what is, you know, outside children or whatever the case may be, we're very present. We're very involved. And I think we have to do just a better job of certain things that even myself, I thought about doing this, never pursued it fully, but at the games and stuff, taking more pictures and stuff with the other fathers, you know, putting that stuff out, you know, because we don't do that enough. We take photos of other stuff, but just even sometimes with the kids, that, you know, the teams that get together, but the fathers sometimes, I'm like, you know, we ought to take those photos and push those out into the media, because that's what's controlling our thought process, and that's what's controlling that misconception. So there's not enough, you know, media out there. So that's one thing that I think we can do.
Okay.
That's awesome, man. That's good. Uh-huh. You know, absolutely. I think that speaks directly to why we wanted to start the podcast, because, you know, like we've been saying, and, you know, we've been interviewing people for the past few weeks and stuff. And, you know, I know a lot of good men, like you said, that are doing things just like that. I'm sure Carl knows a lot of good men who are doing things. And, you know, I don't always understand why we see that stuff in the media about black men and all the negative aspects that they tie in. So, you know, man, I appreciate that answer that you gave. And, you know, I definitely look forward to joining you in that and making sure I'm posting pictures and sharing
Right.
stuff when I'm out. I mean, I try to do that now on social media, but making sure I do more of that, because you're right, it is needed and it's necessary, man. So now kind of tell us a little bit more about like how important is mentorship to you? And then mentorship from the aspect of one, being a mentor and mentoring other people, but then two, being a mentee and allowing other people to mentor you.
Man, I think it is very important. For one, being a mentor is huge. I used to actually, I'll be honest with you, I used to run away from that title. I didn't like it, especially if someone asked me to do it. But then it dawned on me one day that it's selfish not to be. Sometimes we can try to avoid the responsibility of somebody else's success in a sense, but I think it's very selfish if we don't take on something and pass it on to the next generation. But not only pass it on, I think we also get a chance to help them skip some stages. Like if it took us, 10 years to get it, we should be able to help cut somebody's time in half. And that's why I think it's very important that we can give them things that it took us trial and error to learn and get here. Like you mentioned earlier, Gabriel, we've been knowing each other for a long time, and we took a journey that was, if some people knew where we started at versus now, we were on a journey. But had somebody been able to, grab our hands and say, "Hey, you don't have to do it this way," we would have cut time in half. And so one of the things I try to do is that the things that I didn't have and whatever I miss, I try to be there for somebody else. And so mentorship is huge, and that's what even helps some of the stuff we were talking about as far as some of these misconceptions that some of these young men just need us to, be able to pour into them. And then I would say the same thing as being mentored, same, really the same thing, that my time is cut in half on some things, but also we're forever learning. And as much as I do know, there's so much more I don't know. And so mentorship is huge, because that person, you always need somebody that you can put yourself up against and say, and measure yourself. And then you should also be able to have somebody that you can yield your process to, so that they can take it and rearrange it and tell you what you're missing, because times are always changing for one. And that person is more successful than you for a reason. They know something that you don't know. And so I think it's important that we maintain mentors, forever, so that we can stay current and I would even say stay ahead of things.
What might be a piece of advice you would give from in a mentoring sort of situation with a young person? Maybe a piece of advice that you've grown into, obviously over time. When you were young, you did this. Maybe giving a piece of advice for a young person today.
The one I would say, just the first thing that we were talking about, is yield yourself to a mentor, that you don't know everything yet, but the knowledge and the wisdom is available. I think a lot of times, depending on what type of life you had, the guard can be up, because up until a certain point in life, you might have to take taking care of yourself. But being able to yield yourself and take the defenses down and find someone who can help you, I would say you have to have someone that can mentor you. Other thing is, which I'm working on this even the more, is outside of mentoring, which from another angle can be mentored, is reading. We have to get to where we're reading more books. They, as I was saying, that if you want to keep something from a black man, put it in a book. And I think we have to help our young people get away from that stigma, because that's where all the knowledge is hidden at, the majority of it at least. And so I think inside of that mentorship, whether you have a physical person that you're talking to, but there's a lot of things that if you can't find somebody, it's written down somewhere.
That's a great tip. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So, what message would you like to share with listeners about what it means to be a black man in America? We've been talking a little bit about, just those negative stereotypes and the stuff that the media put out there. Black men are dolls, they're lazy, they're criminals, they're whatever. And here we are, three guys on this Zoom that we eradicate all of those things. So to me, this is the heart of what we were wanting to get across, is like there's more men like us out there than they are the people that they show on TV. So what would be that message you would like to share with our listeners about what it means to be a Black man in America?
I think, wow, man, that's a ooh, that's a great, when I tell you, that's a great question. And it's so diverse because there we all, you know, like you said, there's the three of us, but we all have a different story. And how we got here and what we hope to do at the end. But I think the biggest thing is that and I feel like you guys would agree is that one thing is we always have to do it 10 times better. We always have to do it 10 times better every single time. If I'm at my job and everybody else is enjoying themselves and laying back, there's a certain amount of laying back I just can't afford to do at any point. There's a point of relaxing that I would never do, you know, even when it comes to it's the smallest thing, clothing, for instance. When my colleagues relax their clothing, my clothing still has to look a different way because I have to maintain a different type of standard. And so I think that that is one thing, but I think also that we all probably have understood is that although there are many excuses that we can pull on, we have to understand that they are there, but we have to ignore them at the same time. Because if you don't, that stuff will pull you down and you'll never get to the place that you want to, you know, what you want to be, where you want to be, rather. And so we have to push through no matter what. And the biggest thing is we have to lean and depend on, and I say this at least me, we have to lean and depend on God for it. Always stay, you know, to in a place of prayer and a place of humility so that we can get through these things. But being a Black man, it can be tough, it can be brutal, but at the same time we can't allow that to stop us, because the moment you relax and acknowledge that you'll never reach the ultimate goal of success.
Speaking of success, I think we all know that success is more than just the accumulation of wealth and status and recognition and whatnot. How do you define success in your life today versus maybe what you would have done when you're younger?
I think the biggest thing, like you said, is definitely more than wealth as far as to money, bank accounts. For me, it is seeing the wife and my wife and children happy and getting everything that they need. I don't say what they want because that list can go on and on, but saying needs are fully met. That for me, that is true success. That your kids are not lacking anything. When I say lacking, it's not that we're trying to keep up with the latest, whatever the fad is, but being able to say that food is in the cabinets for them, that they have clothing, but then also if there's extracurricular activities that we don't have to say no to that. That if there's things going on at school that we can take care of that for them. To me, that's success in having everybody being taken care of, and then you know seeing them you know happy. You know that beats any amount of money that you can have, because you can have money and then the family's in chaos, and so it's no point at that point, because to have money is only fun when the people in the house can celebrate with you and they're excited too. So I think for me, it's the family piece is the success piece for me.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's really good. And I would agree with that myself. So now, from your perspective, you know, I know we've talked about, you know, some maybe some stereotypes or maybe some things that are out there that are not as true when we think about Black men as a whole. So I would like for you to share a little bit on your perspective about what the narrative should be about what it means to be a Black man in our culture today.
Yeah, what I think it should be, one is that we're family men. That's the first thing, that we are heavy, heavy on family. Like we love, and specifically the way we are about our wives. You know, most of us are very protective. We want to see them have the best. Our children the same way. We want to see them have nothing but the best. And I think that that is so important, that that word gets out to society. But also we're hardworking too, you know. You don't get to some of these places without being driven and hardworking men. And I think those stereotypes are some of it. And then you know that we're also loving. You know, a lot of times you hear people talk about the angry piece and things like that. But it's not. We're actually loving. Sometimes even the anger part is a sign of, because some guys that I've myself talked with, the anger comes from what they're trying to accomplish and get to their families. And so sometimes it's misinterpreted, the way that they respond, and we just kind of got to guide people on how to respond sometimes. But most of the men that I know, even in their anger, it comes from them trying to get something to somebody that they actually love. And so I think that's the biggest thing, that overall that we are family driven, like big time. And that stereotype, real that misconception really bothers me, that that we're not seen in a bigger light than that. But I believe after things like what you guys are doing here, that we're going to change that narrative soon.
I appreciate that. How can folks get in touch with you if you want folks to be in touch with you? How would they do that? Or maybe if they're in the Birmingham area, I guess, if they're looking for a home or mortgage, I should say, how can they
Yes,
get in
sir.
touch with you?
I would say the easiest thing, my cell phone is available, 205-470-1101. My cell phone is everywhere already. So call, text. My email address is tim.harris@firstbankonline.com. And so either one of those ways, I can be reached and help them at, anytime to either purchase a home or getting ready to purchase a home, whatever the case may be. Because some people try to wait to call you and say they're getting some things together. I dispute that a lot, because just like I tell people, it's like going to the doctor. You don't wait to get it together before you go to the doctor. That's the purpose of going, because you don't know what you're looking for. And so that doctor has to draw that blood. And so that's the thing with us, that I need to look at it and see what that application looks like, and help assist them get to the place where they can purchase.
So, quick question for you, Tim. So, I know you put out your email and phone number. So, if someone lives outside of the state of Alabama, can they contact you about a mortgage?
Yes, sir. Definitely. I'm able to write everywhere except for New York. That's probably the only place that I cannot do a mortgage. Yes, sir.
Well, awesome, man. Well, I know these are short interviews that we do, man, and I know we probably could spend tons of time talking about every topic another 30 minutes. But man, I really, really think the information you share with us tonight has been impactful, and I definitely think it's contributed to changing the narrative of what it means to be a Black man. So, man, we appreciate you for being a part of the podcast and for sharing some of your night with us. So, thank you for
Yes,
being
sir.
a part of it.
We
Thank
appreciate
you.
it.
I appreciate you guys even considering me and having me on.